All right, it's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night. We are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. Plenty to talk about tonight in the world of sports, as we've got news and notes to talk about with IU basketball and IU football. Colts camp and IU football camp well underway. But we start with a recap, I suppose, of Monday night, unfortunately, as we've got words and comments out of higher-ups up the Indiana ladder, as both Michael McRobbie and Fred Glass are on the record now as, well, not saying a whole hell of a lot, but saying something about what is going on with the athletic department, and in particular the incident from last week with Emmett Holt and Thomas Bryant being cited for illegal possession of alcohol, both as being under 21 in doing so. And to put it in, I should say, Fred Glass was asked if he would characterize words that Michael McRobbie used for the athletic department meeting, which apparently involved the majority, if not all, of the athletic department. At the time, they asked him if he was read the Riot Act, or if they were read the Riot Act by Michael McRobbie, and he said yes. Again, Glass, I don't know what that means at the end of the day. I don't know what they're going to end up doing about this. You know, I don't know what kind of policies you put in place at this point in time because of it. But they're sick and tired, and they're not going to take any more of it.
The interesting angle about that is that Michael McRobbie is pretty much left alone athletics. He travels to Asia and Africa and Europe and Australia to further Indiana's cause, Indiana's University's cause in educational matters. It has he's very rarely been associated with anything to do with athletics, and now he's being involved with athletics, and I bet that doesn't sit very well with him. And the email, I believe, has been released that he sent out to the athletic department, and it starts with a great discovery made by some paleobotanists about being in some unbelievable finds they made in some worldly publication, and that's what he wants to see Indiana University in the front pages of, not in the front pages of the police blotter. It must stop, and it must stop now. So he is probably not thrilled that he has given these people this responsibility, and now he has to stop and deal with it. But I guess that meeting is something they do annually. That's not hugely surprising. But again, he has been quite hands-off in the athletic program. You never hear his name mentioned with anything really besides academia, buildings being donated, put together, or whatever else. But otherwise, in it, you know, he's not sitting at every football game hanging out and watching the games. He's not front row at the basketball game with his pom-poms on. So again, he's right. This is not what it's about. And he said, we try to prepare these people for the rest of their lives and careers and the rest of their lives. And you got to do a better job of making sure they get that message and stay out of trouble, because it doesn't look good on the university. It doesn't represent the university well. So for everybody that says, well, it's not a big deal, well, the president of your university is now involved with it. So I would say you're wrong on that. That's my opinion.
He has spoken at least somewhat, made a statement on student conduct and athletic department conduct in particular. His comments were, what I do not want to see is any more stories of repeated student misbehavior.
And he put repeated in there.
He put repeated. And he put student in there.
That's right.
He did mention student athletes, but he also mentioned students. They embarrass the university, they embarrass all of UN athletics, and they are a complete distraction from our primary role as an educational institution. This misbehavior simply has to stop. Look, the question still becomes, how do you make it stop? Everybody calls into a radio show, hosts a radio show, goes on a web page, talks to their friends, whatever, and says, I'm sick and tired of this. The question is, how do you make it stop? Does Michael McRobbie have a way for to make it stop? Is he putting Fred Glass in charge of a different policy than they have now to make it stop? That's, you know, that's what I'm interested
in
seeing.
They don't have to share that with anybody either.
But that's ultimately the part that matters.
The other question is going to be, are they going to kill a gnat with a sledgehammer? Jerry Tarkanian once remarked the NCAA got so mad at Kentucky one year they put Cleveland State on probation.
Right.
So is it going to be the kid that on whatever team it is, the next time they get an indiscretion.
Tennis player.
Sure, and they're the one that's going to be made the example of, or that program is going to be made the example of. Well, I don't think that's the proper way to do it. I think instead of having a subtweet, you need to say, clean up your program. You're the program that's having problems. You have different rules to stand by. We've given you a chance. You've rewarded us with 14 player problems in since 2014. That's what I would think would be said behind closed doors. They don't want to come out and say that, obviously, because it doesn't look good. There's PR that's involved with this just as much as there are protecting students and keeping students safe out of trouble and out of the newspaper and out of the jails. So it is an interesting dynamic because, as we have seen, there will be a next one.
Well, sure.
But the point is,
students too here.
Now, you didn't hear Michael McRobbie speak after Hannah Perea. You didn't hear Michael McRobbie speak after Devin Davis. You didn't hear Michael McRobbie speak when Emmett Holt got in trouble. Now he has spoken. And that has to carry weight, because if his words don't carry any weight, basically you essentially have anarchy.
Well, but again, how do you get it down from that level down to the student athletes, or even the students to that matter? Because, you know, if your coach isn't a high enough authority for you, is Fred Glass? And if Fred Glass isn't a high enough authority for you, is the president of the university? And if your mom isn't a higher enough authority for you,
then you've answered the question.
That's ultimately the whole question.
Then you have to go. Then you can go be somebody else's problem.
Sure.
You don't have to be this problem. Indiana University gives you a wonderful chance. We have talked 1,000 times on this program of all of the things they have over there that not everybody gets a chance to play with.
Sure.
And if you choose, and you're asking me how to fix the problem, it's simple. The punishments have to be punishments where somebody says, I got to think before I do this. Instead of saying, oh, I just got to run some stairs if I get caught. What's the big deal? The punishment has to shift to a deterrence level where, whoa, this is a big deal.
Right.
That's my opinion. Whether they do it or not, it's completely up to them. Their code of conduct, do they have to rewrite that? Who has to approve that? I don't know how all that works, but I think there has to be something in there, because what's in there now hasn't been necessarily deterring those people from causing problems. Well, people are going to cause problems, but do they think, hey, I've already been in trouble once. Hey, all right, second strike, big deal. It's kind of like the drug testing. They caught me once. Next time they're going to tell the coach, and then I get in trouble. So I can take another chance on that.
333.
I don't like it.
2665 is our phone number.
And I don't have to like it.
Going to take a quick break, but I got a question when we come back from the break. It's about the policy. I don't know the policy directly, but philosophically, we'll talk about that when we get back. And hopefully we can move on to happier things and some of the news and notes, because we're right around the corner from the start of the football season. And obviously the semester has started also, so we're happy to get some basketball eventually. But we'll talk about some of that when we get back. 333-2665 is the phone number. David Glass with you in the zone.
That email was sent to all the...
All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Quick programming notes. We got Reds baseball coming up right after the show, 7 o'clock. Dodgers are in town. We continue our high school football broadcast this Friday night with the big rivalry here in the general area as Martinsville comes to town to face the South Panthers. 6:30 Chalk Talk with Coach Mo Moriarty and kickoff at 7 o'clock. We will have Colts preseason football Saturday night, 7 o'clock is the pregame for that, as they are at St. Louis. And then we have the IndyCar Sonoma race at 4 o'clock on Sunday. So lots going on here in late August. Weather is beautiful. And we're talking about more issues with the basketball team off the court. Michael McRobbie sending out a... notice and apparently addressing the athletic department meeting and putting his foot down about wanting this to stop. Again, I'm not sure what that means from the standpoint of how you make it stop, but that, I guess, is up for Fred Glass and the rest of the department to determine. And they still have yet to announce anything with regards to Thomas Bryant and Emmett Holt. Here's my question, and again, this is a philosophical question. I don't have any idea what the answer to this is. We can all assume or presume or make our own opinions of it. 4 years ago, we didn't see any problems coming out of the basketball program. It was Jordan Hulls. It was Cody Zeller. It was Vic Oladipo. It was Christian Watford. It was Maurice Creek. It was those guys. Matt Roth. These guys were the guys who were around. So other than personnel, what has changed whereas now you've got all these issues? Or have you just nailed the main issue of the problem, which is the change in personnel?
Well, you've had plenty of staff changes. You've had your conditioning coach change three times.
Yeah.
You've had Calbert Chaney has left. You've had Rob Judson come in.
Calbert Chaney for a year, right?
Still.
Well, I'm just saying.
Changed.
I'm just trying to.
Yeah, Kenny Johnson left. Chuck Martin's come in. You had McLean has left. It's a living, breathing organism. And
Right. Kids
change. Kids' priorities change. Kids that get hurt or kids that don't get enough playing time, attitudes change.
Well, but the interesting thing about it is it has been such a small time frame with so many things that have happened. But because of that, it hasn't been that long since it wasn't happening.
But the other answer to your question is this all began, for the most part, correct, on everybody makes Perea's DUI as the beta or the time change, because that's when he said, okay, that's a pretty good screw up.
Right.
You get a DUI in season on a school night or whatever that was, right? It was a Tuesday night or something.
Well, yeah.
But so just talk this out with me, because I'm just thinking
it was a couple nights before the Purdue game.
It wasn't a weekend off weekend or something where you'd think, hey, that makes sense.
Sunday or
you're
Monday
out on a Friday night.
Or one of those.
A college kid being a college kid. That wasn't the sense. So the angle is,
well, Wednesday's the weekend around here. I mean,
but not when you're an athlete, scholarship athlete. But the point is, the message was sent then that was worthy of a 2-game suspension. And that's pretty heavy. That's endangering others, endangering yourself. That's what it is.
For the basketball team, again, that to me, punishment-wise, it doesn't sound good. But at the very least, that's the big one to me.
And that's where it's marked this. And since then, whatever has happened at that point, where this conversation should have taken place, in my opinion, after the Perea, not 14 times later.
Right.
So whatever has that conversation has been, which we're not privy to, has not done anything, in my opinion, to deter current roster players, Yogi Ferrell, Stan Robinson, 2 months after that, brand new players, Emmett Holt last year, Thomas Bryant this year. You have had every level of boxes checked.
I'm trying to get that timing on all of it.
You've had out-of-state kids, in-state kids, kids that have been going to IU their whole life, kids that you picked up at the last second. It doesn't matter. Everybody's been in trouble to some degree, it seems like. Jeremy Hollowell gets a – remember when he never played for 3 games and he wasn't living up to team standards?
Right.
That one kind of gets passed by the wayside for whatever reason.
And, of course, you don't know if somebody gets suspended before they get suspended, if they failed a drug test or something
but
like that.
But you're right. There have been issues, and you can trace them back to whenever you want to trace them back to. But you're right. There were no problems with the team that was ranked number one most of the season. And were the kids on that high character? Yeah. I think you can be a high character kid and make a bad decision, too. I think you can have that. But there's no debating since 2014, since Perea's arrest, what has happened. You can't sugarcoat that. You can't dress it up. That's what's happened. And the point is, if it continues to happen, Einstein's definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results.
Right.
So either they're not going to change the policy and accept this, and then we'll just send out emails and wag fingers, or you're going to change something the next time it happens. And that's why before we went to the commercial break, we brought up the angle, now you're going to take a sledgehammer out to kill a gnat. Mm-hmm. Is someone going to be set the example two or four? I don't know. It's not my decision.
Yeah, I mean,
we comment on the decisions, and we don't know what the rules are.
333-2665 is the phone number. The last thing there was a dramatic enough change, the last time there was a dramatic enough change with anything that even approaches this kind of thing, was when they got rid of Kelvin Sampson, and that was mostly because of recruiting situations. But then what you found out pretty quickly is when Dan Dockich is installed as the coach, is he starts suspending people left, right, up, and down because there's been bad behavior all about it, and we just haven't heard about it. And then in the off season, they hire Tom Crean and somebody, and it's not just one person, but somebody tells Tom Crean he's got to make some examples and make some big changes on the roster also. So that's the last time something like this had to go through some quote-unquote changes in policy.
It's because it was interesting. The first change was because of bad kids. Well, those kids weren't nearly in the time frame in trouble with the law.
They didn't get in trouble with the law.
They did not.
No, I mean,
those are facts.
There were drug tests there that were supposedly failed. There was talk about grades and those sorts of things. And they certainly were made out to be bad guys at that point in time. And again, Tom Crean, you know, people can throw back at Tom Crean and say, well, he didn't need to kick those players off. No, I mean, there was a pretty sense, palatable sense that everything needed to be cleaned up out of that program. And to be fair, again, for 4 or 5 years, 6 years, whatever it may be, 5 years, I guess, there weren't those issues that we know of. I mean, outside of whether someone had gotten it, I think Jeremy Hollowell is the one person I can think of, and you brought it up, and thank you for bringing it up. That's the only person I can think of that was in trouble in those 5 years after that change was made. Now, again, if somebody fails a drug test the first time, we don't know about it. Maybe that happened and we just don't know about that, but we don't. That's the point. So I can only think of the one situation. The other ones were Perea and Jerkin, and those were related to the NCAA.
And recruiting. Yeah. Absolutely. That's what it was. And if you don't like it, it's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But the point is, you didn't have 14 of these under Kelvin Sampson. That didn't happen. And whatever Sampson did, here's the angle. The angle is you either condone it and move on, or you stop it and change completely what happens. The next guy that gets in trouble has to know at this point is going to be made an example of, no matter what has happened to him, because you can't go on just saying, oh, well, that's this situation is different than that situation is different than that situation.
I don't know how you make any kind of statement and say that the president's involved and you better make damn sure and not make one of these two guys, if not both of them, an example of some sort.
Well,
I don't know how you don't.
We haven't seen that come through yet. Yeah. So we'll see when that decision comes out, and I think that will retroactively answer your question of what decisions have been made.
I mean, that decision hasn't been laid out, at least. So
it has not.
It seems to me it's got to come here. 333-2665 is the phone number.
How you doing, Travis? Good afternoon. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good, man. Always good to hear from you. What's happening?
Yeah. Well, I was wanting to call in because I read, of course, the paper the other day about the situations, and here's the way I look at it. And I'm going to widen this out to football. When things are going great, yeah, you have good players, this and that, but it's always, oh, the coaches, look how good they are, look how great they are. Well, when things aren't great, you got to do that too, and this is one of those situations. You can't start making excuses, and I'm not saying you guys, I'm just saying anybody. The coaches need to be held accountable. These guys, they're turning into an embarrassment for our school and our state.
They're the highest paid state employee.
Yeah, it's an embarrassment. It's a joke. And here's the thing. I read in the paper, I assume it's correct, although sometimes it's not, or not, you know, any paper can be wrong, but we just got rid of a guy about a month ago for dealing drugs or having some sort of drug involvement. And now, so what do? We go and recruit a kid who got arrested not too long ago for possession of drugs.
Yeah.
I mean, are you kidding me?
Yeah, the cornerback from South Carolina discovered. South Carolina had reported on this. I think it was an ounce of marijuana.
Well,
just an
ounce?
Just an ounce.
Personal use?
Well, that's
no,
an ounce.
Not 28 grams. That's
you know? What hole was the athletic director crawled into and hiding in? Where's he at? I mean, there is absolutely zero leadership in the IU athletic directors or the IU athletic department right now.
I'll throw something else out there. We sent a certain coach packing at one point in the last year and a half or so for something that was going on in that athletic department that nobody wants to talk about.
Yep.
Well, it was
throw that in there too.
And it was probably so bad that they had to do that under threat of lawsuit or arrest or Lord knows what. But there is, I mean, our IU is athletics is becoming a joke. And it starts at the head of who's in charge.
Do we have baseball issues, you tell me, also?
Oh, yeah, baseball. 3, 4, 5 years ago, one of their relief pitchers was receiving pounds and pounds of marijuana through the mail.
We had a baseball pitcher who was supposed to
Johnny Hoffman.
Be one of the top of the country dealing dope.
Yep. Yeah. You can look that up. You can look up Johnny Hoffman and see what's happened. But I think the point is you've had all these incidents, and you want to give kids second chances, and I'm not totally against that. When you talk about felonies like Antonio Allen, there's no second chance for that. But a kid making a dumb decision when he was 18, that's one thing. But here's my issue, Travis. I went through this on Monday, and I'm not backing down from it. it can't be the same guy who got busted 10 months ago in the same situation.
Right.
Emmett Holt, he went through a situation almost killed his teammate. How can he be in trouble again? I have no sympathy for that. And as Dave mentioned right before we put you on the air, we don't know what the new policy is. Emmett Holt might be the first victim of the new policy, and Thomas Bryant might be collateral damage.
I think he's got to be. Not Bryant necessarily, but I think Emmett Holt you have to, and you get the perfect opportunity to, sadly, but you do.
And Devin Davis was already – he was in that ship. That is – if you want to say – what's the word I'm looking for? If you want to see precedent, that Devin Davis can be – Emmett Holt's doing the same thing, essentially. So the point is, why did they keep doing it? And I'm with you. If you pay a guy $3.7 million to coach a team, when things are great, you get the plaudits. And when things aren't going well, it's like the quarterback. He's got to take the heat when you don't play well, and he's got to take the heat when you're winning the championships.
And here's my thing, too. These guys, and this is expanding it a little bit, but these, you know, people say, well, they're kids, and I understand that. But, man, they're getting a full ride to a very good university.
Yeah, those who give more should have more responsibility. I don't think anybody.
There needs to be some appreciation for that. And too many of these kids are coddled from about third or fourth grade on. And, oh, look at what so-and-so did. Yeah, but, man, he's a great ball player. I don't care. What kind of person are they? What do we not? You know, I'd rather see like old Butler, how Butler was, bringing in 2- and 3-star kids that stayed 4 years, but they worked their butts off and played hard. I would rather see.
It's a very fine line.
You
want every guy to be like Cody and Victor, and sadly they're not.
It doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't. So what you have to do is sometimes you have to give a little to get a little. Sometimes you take a kid who's maybe not as athletic as Victor, but it's not going to get in any trouble. Or you take a kid that's really, really athletic and might have a little bit of a questionable background, knowing that you can foster him and grow him and train him in this environment to be good.
Look,
that's where you make your money.
I don't. And Travis, we got to let you
go.
Good job, Travis.
Is always,
a great call.
Yep.
And I don't disagree with what you say on principle. I will say this: you see, just as many people who've got everything do stupid stuff. What do we hear on the news heading into the beginning of the thing? Josh Duggar, go look that up for a while. I mean,
I don't want to.
I mean, so from that standpoint, you know, people who have everything, people who have nothing, everybody does stupid stuff. My issue would be with the idea of losing a scholarship is, to me, you're either got a history or a pattern of doing stupid stuff, or you've done something really stupid. And I do too.
I think that's fair.
To me,
you can't let somebody get away with it and somebody else not.
I look at two kids in this situation. I say Thomas Bryant just got here and did something that to me is very minimal, but there should be some sort of punishment.
Yes.
And I look at Emmett Holt and I say, you were in a situation that was life-threatening.
Yeah.
And even if it wasn't your fault, and even if it was somebody else's stupidity, if it didn't teach you that you got to
be
smarter, and you do something dumb again, especially when you're influencing somebody who's brand new here at the university, and you put it well on Monday about that. That to me,
that's the worst part.
That's two stupids, and coming off a really stupid. So to me, get out. You know, to me, that's the example you make right now, and I think it's pretty easy.
And the other thing is
the hard thing right now is what might end up happening, and that is they say we're giving him one last chance because they want to try to teach him. To me, you do it. You just cut it right now. Done with it.
Just like they did with Devin Davis.
Once again, and not talking Antonio Allen once. I'm talking.
That's not a felony.
I'm talking, fake ID. No big deal to me. It's a law. I get it. That's small. That's a bad decision.
The next time, you haven't learned.
If you continue with stupid, I'm not going to sit around and wait for you to stupid until it affects me. That's the way I look at it.
Or other innocent people who have nothing to do with it.
We got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is our phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. You're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is our phone number. So we wait and see what the athletic department and potentially the basketball program do and say about going forward. It is important to note, just happened this week also, that the football program brought in former 4-star recruit Wesley Green as a cornerback. He's redshirting this year as he redshirted last year at South Carolina. He will have 3 years to play three seasons, but he has a black mark on his books. And let me make sure that I read this the way it's written.
Do that.
Don't quote me from
you
the
didn't
standpoint.
Come up with the story.
Yeah, this is from
this
the
isn't
state,
your police report.
Which is somewhere south. I'm assuming it's in Columbia somewhere. Let's see.
Columbia,
here.
South Carolina, not South America. Columbia.
Yes, thank you. Richland County Judicial Court record says that Wesley Green was charged with possession of 1 ounce or less of marijuana in March. Green paid $620 in fees and was required to submit to random drug screenings. That's pretty much all that I've
seen. Did the time.
Yeah, that's all I've seen about it. South Carolina University didn't talk about it.
Now,
IU obviously isn't going to talk
Travis
about it.
Travis made a point about that, but you could take that one more level and say, well, when you get caught with drug testing, the first one they don't tell anybody except you, and the second one they get you. So everybody knows you've been caught twice.
Well,
and you've kept those people around. So
he got caught not by the university, presumably, here, just to have been arrested.
Sure.
He got caught by
somewhere
else.
The point is when you do the drug testing, they say, first time, we got you.
Yeah, don't do it again.
You do it again. That's when your coach finds out and everybody else finds out, and that's bad. We keep those people.
Like Troy and Stan last year.
That's exactly true. Or anybody else on any other team who has done that. As we found out, DeMarlo Belcher.
Was it one of the wide receivers.
But the point is, why didn't you play? Why aren't you there? Why are you off the team?
Something.
You want to give guys chances to figure it out and help themselves out. This is not grown adult pay for play, 29 years old, Alden Smith problems.
Right.
These are kids on the verge of manhood, might be in a man's body, might not be between the years. You go to college to learn things. I'm with you, and if I'm wrong, my interpretation, stop me and tell me I'm wrong. Repeat offenders who have been in trouble before in serious activities should be treated differently than petty crimes. If you're arrested for speeding 40 in a 30 or 90 in a 40, there's
different.
A difference.
There is a difference.
There is a difference. If I get two speeding tickets going 41 in a 30 twice, and you get 90 in a 55 twice, the judge is going to talk to you a little bit differently. He's going to talk to me.
Right.
That's my issue with Davis and Holt.
Yes.
Been there, done that. Okay.
And the important thing here is, and you pointed out strike number one in both cases was a rather serious, and I use the words, life-threatening situation.
Guy was in a hospital
Hunter
for
Perea,
how long?
There was no life-threatening because nobody was injured, but to me it's a life-threatening situation because we know what a DUI can do to people.
Exactly
what could
right.
happen from that and the mistake that could, that luckily was not, but to me it is still considered, in my
so
book, a life-threatening situation.
Has been somewhat consistent in that, where the next time Perea was in trouble, he was removed from the program.
As far as we know, yes.
The next time Davis was in trouble, he was removed from the program.
I think the only question would be,
I don't think they can save Emmett Holt on this one.
I think the only question would be whether what Holt's portion of that first offense was as bad as the other two. To me, it's the fact that if you didn't figure it out when all that went down.
It hasn't been a year.
I know. Well, hold on. If you didn't figure it out.
Then,
when you went through that, even if it wasn't exactly your fault, but you were found to be in the wrong in some cases and had to go through everything that went on with that, then I don't know what's going to treat you. I mean, I really don't. It's like with Devin Davis, you went through a brain injury and then you're smoking pot. Again,
it's illegal.
I don't. Well, but,
it's,
and it's not real.
Illegal.
It's not necessarily great for your brain either.
It's illegal.
Especially your recovering brain.
It's illegal.
Brain.
And his teammate sat right there and watched him, just like Emmett Holt sat with his teammate.
You're correct. There would appear to be that precedent. Whether they consider that to be the case with Holt, I do.
Yes, I'm with you on that. I do. You have to, because you can't. It's less than a year. It's 10 and a half months. Yeah. Is there probation that he's going to violate for that?
And
there
again,
are other issues that go along with
this
that
this is
as well.
The petty crime. That was not.
They got it in the wrong
this
order.
One today, you know, the other day, was the petty crime. This is the small thing that doesn't mean a lot, except for the fact that it's number two in that case.
It is. And the whole point is, if you haven't learned after two times, why should I extrapolate it will take three?
Right.
What if it takes 18 or 12 or 9? You can't be in that business.
Here's an interesting side of this, though, too. You know, we talk about the football programs had some things that, to me, are of higher import as far as the situations are concerned. And one of them in particular is wide receiver Isaac Griffith. Now, this is a kid who nearly drowned. And
that had nothing to do with anything.
Well, but they said they may have been drinking. They may not have been drinking. His friends said they may or may not have been drinking. We don't know exactly. But my point is, you went through a life-threatening situation. Now, whether it was your own stupidity or not, turns around this past year, DWI.
Sure.
Now, again, that rises to the level of really bad to me.
Yeah.
But it has come off of the fact that you had already gone through something. So should you be doing something stupid after that? Well, I mean, I don't know that that exactly qualifies in that case.
It is.
But it's in the neighborhood.
You're putting people's,
it's in the neighborhood.
There's a reason those laws are on the books. It's because they don't want that behavior happening anymore. They tried it for a really long time without putting any laws on the books.
Yeah.
And people continued to die.
Yeah.
And that's not what you need. And you have to learn. In life, there are consequences. You can't. I mean, we'd all love to be Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart at SC. We'd all love to be that. Didn't seem like they had anything to worry about when they were there.
Mm-hmm.
But in life, if you break the rules, there's consequence. If you break the rules, if your employer tells you you can't do this and you do it, if you're a borderline employee because you've had past indiscretions, you're probably not getting the benefit of the doubt.
Well, we all know
human resources will tell you that.
Importance to the organization always plays a part.
It
don't
sure
say
does.
That it doesn't.
I'm not saying it does. But the sad thing or the interesting part will be those people who have had indiscretions hopefully don't get their second indiscretion.
Right.
You could argue Robinson did. He had the fake ID. Then he had the failed drug test within 3 months of each other,
yep.
And they kept him.
Yeah.
Okay. They did. So maybe the fake ID, not a big deal.
Neither rises to the DUI level.
But getting caught for pot twice again, we told you once, don't do it. And he did it again.
They didn't hesitate to say, okay, if you want to leave, go.
Yeah.
So
again, you have to make the bed you lie in. And if you keep kids, guess what you have to answer for the next till they get in trouble again?
Yeah.
You got to answer the question of why this and not that. Why that and not him?
Right.
And again, it's precedent. Precedent for the fan. This is not a court of law.
Mm-hmm.
So before the lawyers pick up the phone and start telling me what it's going to be and what it's not going to be, Hannah Perea wasn't mentioned in the police report, excise report. He was just there.
He was there. Yeah.
And I said, see you later.
Right.
I don't know. It's moving forward. There has to be, to the student athlete, and it doesn't have to be made to the public, a very clear set of, if this happens to you, you have to know that we can't save you. You would think, Dave, that after those life experiences, you wouldn't need the president or you need the athletic director to tape a note in everyone's locker and say, this is a bunker, don't ground your club in it.
Right.
But but they're kids, so you kind of have to use kid gloves. And I get all that. And I get some people want to save everybody. That's great. But you have to accept the consequences of saving everybody because you're a public institution.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the spotlight. You're in the most visible program at Indiana University, and that's not changing. That's expectations that are different than perhaps the tennis team. No offense to Jeremy Wertzman and his crew. They do a very nice job.
Sure.
But it's apples and stones. Mm-hmm. It's not even in the same family of fruit.
Yeah.
You can tell me 24 sports, one team till you bleed from your eyes. I don't have to believe that. That's a nice colloquialism to have around the office.
There shouldn't be a lot of conspiracy theory when you've got the potential to set the foot down right now. Just do it.
It's not hard to say. It's done with.
Mm-hmm.
And the next time it happens, this is what happens to the coaching staff. This is what happens to the support staff. This is what happens to the player in charge. Because if you can't keep them under control, if you can't keep them from just being kids, you set a curfew, move them into the dorms. How'd that work out?
Yeah.
Can't live off campus. They're trying. I get it. But McGrobby's right. Yeah. It can't continue, can it? I don't think it can.
No.
And apathy, worse than anything
else. We've seen it over there with the student athletes. We've seen it with the coaches.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen it all over, so.
And it's frustrating. And the point is, if it continues to happen, I don't know what McGrobby's going to do. Because, you know what he's not going to do? I'll tell you what he's not going to do. It's not going to fall on his lap.
No.
He's going to get out the
– he laid it right on Fred Glass.
He's going to get out the shears, the dustbuster, and everybody else and be like, I've given you all the room you need. I have given you space. I have not been on your case.
Dare we say, given you rope?
Fred's words today, it's a very sobering.
We're going to make a – yeah, well.
That's
I don't know. Sober is really
choice
the
of
way
words
to go
there,
with that.
Well, of course, that just – set alight the comedians on the internet.
Yeah.
And as well it should.
Maybe answered our own question right there. Got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is a phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is the phone number. Quick programming notes. We got Reds baseball, 7 o'clock here, right after the show, as the Dodgers are in town. We keep high school football rolling along with the annual Martinsville South game from Fred Huff Memorial Field on Friday night. 6:30 Chalk Talk, 7 o'clock kickoff for that. Colts are at St. Louis on Saturday. We'll have pregame starting at 7 o'clock and the kickoff at 8 o'clock for that preseason game. And we've got the IndyCar race under a very somber situation in Sonoma, California.
Last one of the year, isn't it?
On Sunday, 4 o'clock on Sunday. Try to end on an interesting note here for IU Athletics in particular, as there was an announcement on, I believe it was Saturday or Friday. Anyways, Indiana and Louisville to play football and men's basketball series.
Hey, so hey.
The basketball portion of this has been rumored for a long time. It has come to fruition, but it's also been coupled with a couple football games. So that's kind of cool. A neutral site to start them both off, a trip to Louisville and a trip to Bloomington on both dockets. The basketball games will be, this is listing Bankers Life on New Year's Eve 2016.
So it's 15 months from now.
Yep, and then down at the Yum Center on December 9th, 2017, and back at Assembly Hall on December 8th of 2018. Football games are pushed out a bit here to
2021-23.
Yeah, 23, 24, and 25. So you got a ways to wait on your tickets there. But the first game is scheduled to be at Lucas Oil Stadium. The only interesting or thing that I'm a little disappointed about, I'm thrilled to have the whole thing, don't get me wrong.
What are you disappointed
about? Only disappointment is that the neutral site basketball game is a Banker's Life, and they didn't find a way or couldn't find a way to get it to Lucas Oil. That, to me, would be the ultimate for that, is to, you know, stick 50,000 people in there or more.
Sure.
But I'm not disappointed by this at all.
You know what they call this? A great start.
Yeah,
if
absolutely.
If it goes well,
absolutely.
Maybe you find a date down the
do
road
again, sure.
That you incorporate the money grab at Lucas Oil Stadium. Bankers
I
Life
think
is a better
an,
basketball arena.
I understand. I agree with you. I don't have a problem with Bankers Life at all,
no.
But you're talking about an area thing. There's a lot of these big events
sure.
going on
just
like
drive
that.
Up
it'd
the
be
price
great
of the
for
ticket,
that to be
price
that.
A student right out of it. Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
So
we're doing it anyways by going up there.
Yeah, if you don't think money has anything to do with these things, you're nuts, folks. Absolutely. No, it's good. And the football is interesting as well. Indiana and Louisville played a long time ago, didn't they?
Yeah, they played twice in the early 80s, not long after Coach Mallory's group got here, 85 and 86.
And as I mentioned with Joe on Monday, it's great that Louisville and Indiana can figure it out. It makes you wonder why Indiana Kentucky can't. Again, it hurts the fan. That's what it does. Why can't you play Kentucky in football? Why can't you play Kentucky in basketball?
We haven't played Kentucky in football for a long time.
Yeah, 2000 or somewhere in there.
That fell apart.
It did.
It wasn't nearly as big a deal on the football field as it was
on the
basketball.
You know why? It was money,
course,
because they were only getting 40,000 people instead of 60, and they were that wasn't enough. Wasn't good enough, so they could, I don't know. They just stay at home and collect more. Yeah. The other way. But, again, the fan has to be. Without the fan, you don't have a whole lot to worry about. So it will be interesting to see moving forward. And I know I've talked to some people that deal with this stuff. It's not easy to get these things done. I wish that it would be you put the Kentucky game, the first game on your schedule, and schedule everything around that instead of saying,
sure.
Oh, you have one date,
but
we have one date.
Yeah,
oh,
sorry,
yeah,
we
can't pound it in there. So I wish I would just wish everybody would come out and just say, hey, we're playing during the Christmas holiday every year, like Louisville's going to play right before the break, right before Big Ten starts. So that'll get you tuned up and ready to go.
Maybe even in the middle of it.
It'd be nice to do it.
December 31st.
That's a heck. December 31st. Indiana played at Lincoln
second game.
And something else.
Second game was New Year's Eve last year, I believe.
There you go. So that'll get you. I just wish that would be more because you can tell me about Coastal Carolina all day, McNeese State, Georgia State.
You got to play a few of them.
You do.
But
I get it.
You need some big
don't
ones
put
also.
Them. You know what they'll do? Hmm. They'll drop their game, come for you at the last minute when the Kentucky game falls through.
Exactly right.
So start there and work your way backwards, not the other way around. But again, it's good that it's happening. Indiana football goes a week from Saturday. Southern Illinois is the opener, 4 o'clock on the 5th. Colts are in action, Dave. Third preseason game of 5. How many do they play? We have to play
4.
The Bengals somewhere in here, don't we?
Yeah,
don't they play
that's
annually?
The final game.
That's the final game on September 3rd. That is a week from tomorrow. So the Colts, a quick turnaround. When do they get down to 53 guys? After
53,
the final?
I believe, is the 5th. I saw.
Okay, so they will go 5th. All 4 games before that.
They have to cut to 75 by the 1st.
Very nice. So we'll see if the Colts have solved any of their problems.
Robert Mathis knocked off the PUP list and onto
that's
the
good.
Active list.
That's good. But is he still suspended?
That was last year.
Was that last year? He tore his Achilles. I didn't know if you get hurt, if they move the suspension back, or if your Achilles is fine. That's great news for the Colts. And again, if the Colts were winning these preseason games 58-0, no one would care. So if they're struggling right now, again, Pagano gave you a great, I don't know if you read Mike Wells' column today, gave you a great reason why he thinks it's not happening. Hey, the collective bargaining agreement says we can't wear pads for 8 weeks at this time. We come in, we don't want guys to get hurt. We barely wear pads. We're not hitting enough. It's a evolution. And I've heard some coaches on radio shows say, in the old days, by the second exhibition game, I knew where my team was. Mm-hmm. And now it's week four because we don't hit. There's no hitting anymore.
Well, exactly. There's a lot of reasons for it. Yes. I mean, there are injuries in general. Concussions certainly had a lot to do with this, but just injuries in general.
Right.
The CBA did back off a lot of that because it was injuries in general. What that means, both teams have it.
Sure.
I mean, it's not like the Colts are the ones that got negotiated out in
but
the CBA.
But you also choose, once those days are in, how rough and tumble you want to get after it. And some guys' philosophies are, I want my guys fresh for the season.
It's a lot more old school, and there aren't a lot of people that do it that do a really hard hitting nowadays in practices. They just don't do it as much. You hear a little
they want
bit
to
of,
avoid any
yeah, IU did a little bit of Oklahoma drills.
Sure,
everybody loves Oklahoma
news.
Drills.
Why does it make news? Because no one's doing it anymore. That's why it makes news.
And you don't do it very often.
Do the Colts need to get better? They absolutely need to get better. But as Dave and I have lamented before, you're not finding players today that are going to help you on week one of the season. So it's now about plugging gaps. And Dave, if your line's not good enough, do you run away from the bad spots? Do you roll away from the bad spots? Or do you just let Andrew Luck take his chances back there?
I'd like to keep him away from them.
Well, that's exactly.
Last year we picked up an offensive center the week before, 3 days before a game and
Lucky
started
ducky.
Him for two straight weeks.
Lucky ducky.
So, yeah.
That's not the ideal way to do
it. It's not going away. It's not going away all of a sudden.
No. So. And it's not going to fix itself either. But thankfully, Andrew Luck can fix a lot of cosmetic issues.
You know what? Philip Dorsett better produce early if you didn't take a draft pick on an offensive lineman with as bad as that line looks right now. Hey, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. Again, Reds baseball coming up here shortly. And Friday night, Martinsville at South. Big rivalry game here on WGCL starting at 6:30. And we will talk to you Monday at 6 o'clock. You've been in the zone.